I'd like to echo the welcome that Simon gave at the beginning of the service, a very warm welcome. If you're visiting with us for the first time, you're welcome. If you've been visiting us for 1,000 times, you're still welcome. And it's a real blessing to have the opportunity of sharing God's word with you this morning. Even this week, I'm sure some of you were horrified when we saw those pictures of that dear guy that drove over the cliff down at Jerburg. And it was the police that got there first. And in the news, because they got there first, it was said they did what they could until the fire brigade arrived, before the paramedics arrived. They did what they could. And we hear that phrase so many times, don't we? It may be because a lifeboat was called out on the stormy seas, which we see around Guernsey all too frequently. And we find that they maybe have got to that ship a little bit too late. But they did what they could. Or there might be a case that we read about a traffic accident or some other tragedy, and the person arrived dead on arrival. But they did what they could. And I've often put myself in the place of these people that when they get back home at the end of a shift, I wonder if they play back through their minds, would there have been something more that we could have done? We did what we could, but could we have done more? And I'm sure in our own existence, our own circumstances, we've been faced with situations where, on reflection, maybe we could have done more. It's interesting that the story that Andre just read now is one of the very few stories that is recorded in all four Gospels. The anointing of Jesus with expensive perfume. All the Gospels tell the story. There's differences between some of them. Essentially, they are all the same, where they say that Jesus was invited to this dinner party to Simon. Simon the Pharisee, he's known in one of the Gospels. In another of the Gospels, it says he's Simon the leper. So he was obviously a Pharisee who got leprosy. And yet, here he is giving a dinner party, which would indicate that he was no longer a leper. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to entertain guests. He wouldn't even have been in his own home. And we're not told how he came to not be a leper anymore. Sufficient to say that he was inviting Jesus, the disciples around, for a dinner party. It was quite a big gathering, because we know Lazarus was there, who had only just recently been raised from the dead. And people were coming just to see that spectacle alone, to check out Lazarus, who had just been raised. So there were 14, 15 men in this room, sat down, expecting to enjoy men's fellowship. And then a woman gate crashes. I've never gatecrashed a party. I don't know if you ever have. I tend to like to go to the ones I'm invited to. But this woman gatecrashed the party. Makes a fool of herself in front of a whole room full of men by crying her eyes out. Disregarding the protocol that a woman in those days would not have had a place there. And she became, instead, the whole sole focus of the attention, rather than Jesus, who was the guest of honor, rather than Simon the Pharisee, who was the host. She had all eyes focused on her at that point. And Luke says that she was a woman of some reputation. So not only was she gatecrashing, she was also unwelcome. But a very wealthy woman. We find that the spikenard, the scented perfume that she broke over Jesus' head and over his feet, was worth about a year's salary. Now, you think about what your year's salary is. And me, a poor old pensioner now. It's a considerable sum that she was prepared to cast on Jesus. And we get various responses to that act throughout the four Gospels. John states that Judas complained about the waste of money in throwing that perfume over Jesus. Matthew records that a number of the disciples verbally abused her because of the act that she had made. Luke says that when the Pharisee saw all this that was going on, he thought to himself, if this man knew what this woman was like, he's supposed to be a prophet, he should know. And after the complaining of the disciples, the judgmental attitude of Simon the Pharisee, the leper, Jesus then speaks in the midst of all of what was going on. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you have not always had me. She did what she could. She did what she could. So what's the story teaching us this morning as we look at this? What made Mary overcome any embarrassment of going into an unwelcome household? What was her driving force? What was her motivation that made her throw away the equivalent of 30,000 pounds of perfume, which is an average of today's wage? What made this woman get rid of 30,000 pounds worth of perfume in a stroke? What made her lay her hair down, which was unheard of in Eastern culture of that time, in front of men? What made her throw herself at the feet of a man without introduction, without a chaperone, without his permission? What was it that caused her to do this act? Well, the answer comes out in Luke. With all the condemnation that was bantering around, the abuse that she was getting, Jesus in Luke said, Simon, I've got something to tell you. Simon said, oh, speak, Lord. Simon, there were two people that owed money to a moneylender. One owed 500 denarii. The other owed 50 denarii. Neither of them could afford to pay it back. And so he wrote off the debt of the 500 and of the 50. Now, Simon, tell me, which one of these will love him more? And he fell right into the trap. Well, the one who was forgiven the most. You have judged correctly, Jesus said. Therefore, I tell you, her sins that are many have been forgiven, as her love has shown. For whoever has been forgiven little loves little. The implication there was, Simon, you're a Pharisee. You think yourself perfect. You're not going to love me very much because in your view, you haven't been forgiven very much. This woman has been forgiven much and therefore has demonstrated that forgiveness in a very practical, outward way to me, to you. It's wonderful when people get carried away when they've been delivered. We find that when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, and after that treacherous, frightening night when they had to gather the courage to go across the Red Sea, they were so delighted to get to the other side. We see that Miriam and the women started dancing and singing and playing the tambourines and had this wonderful hymn of praise because of the deliverance that God had brought upon them. We find that when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, into the temple, we are told that he cast off all his clothes and danced with all his might. He was so overcome with what had actually occurred. Paul says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord. I wonder, folks, when was the last time we got excited about being forgiven? We've just celebrated the Lord's table, which is a demonstration of the forgiveness that each of you and me have experienced. Are we excited enough to give away an annual salary? Are we forgiven enough to be prepared to make a fool of ourselves? As I've been looking at this story, I think when you truly experience what you've been forgiven from, you don't need another sermon on service or on giving. You don't need another sermon on being told how to use your talents. The full knowledge of your forgiveness is the motivation that brings that into being. Brian McGill said, there is no love without forgiveness, and there is no forgiveness without love. When we truly, fully grasp what we've been forgiven of and saved from, maybe too, we, like Mary, throw off the embarrassment, the inhibitions. What struck me with Mary was that this was only a few days before Christ's crucifixion. That perfume would have been so strong, I believe, that when he was in the upper room those last few moments, the aroma of that perfume was probably still lingering. When the soldiers divided his clothes at the cross, it's possible they could still smell that sacrificial gift of Mary's. I've got aftershave. It's called eternity, but it's not lasting forever. But I know that when I put this fragrance on in the morning, and I give Judy her good morning kiss, one a day, you mustn't overdo these things. If I was to give her a kiss before we go to bed at night, that smell would still be there. It would be lingering. Mark said, as Andre read this morning, that what Mary did will be remembered forever. And here we are, we're remembering it again this morning. That smell, that fragrance, that gift is lingering. Folks, I wonder if you've reached a stage in your life when you think you've got nothing left to give. You feel useless, you feel unable, inadequate, ungifted, unanointed. You look back in a life that was so fruitful, where everything was going on and you felt so blessed, you felt so used, you felt that you too were a blessing to many, and now you've got nothing to give. Folks, I would say, instead of looking back at what you did do, let's be challenged this morning to do what we can do. She did what she could, not what she couldn't. God is calling you and me this morning not to do what we can't, not to do what we used to do, but to do what we can. What can we do? Let's just think about this for a moment. We can live our lives with gratitude. It doesn't matter what we're going through, and I know you folks, some of you are going through an awful lot. There is still something you can be grateful for. There is still something you can be thankful for. Even if it's the very fact that you've been forgiven this morning. You can still ask Jesus to make you a blessing to somebody today. Let's be open to that. I find the Christian life terrifically exciting. Every morning we pray, Judy and I, make us a blessing to somebody today. And it's amazing the amount of times God puts somebody in front of us we would never have dreamt of speaking to, sharing with. Pray that. Tell somebody that you appreciate them today, that you love them today, that you're proud of them today. You do what you can, not what you can't. And above all, share Jesus with somebody today. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 2:15, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." We are a fragrance, folks. I'm glad we're not a stench. I'm glad we're not an odor. We are a fragrance, and various versions call it in different ways. The ESV says we are the aroma of Christ. When I think of aromas, I think of cooking, don't you? And sometimes it can smell absolutely beautiful. King James says, we are the sweet savor of Christ. The New King James, the fragrance of God. When the Romans captured a city or a nation, they would parade their captives ahead of themselves in a victory march. And Paul picks this picture up when he was saying about we are a fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and amongst those who are perishing. Because what they did, they paraded their prisoners ahead of the cavalcade and burning incense. So there was an aroma, there was a sound, there was a sight to behold. And Paul says, this is what we as Christians are to those who are saved and to those who are perishing. We are an aroma. We're a victory march. We're a parade. Something to be seen, smelt. So folks, believe it or not, wherever you go, whatever you do, you are giving off a smell. Let it be the sweet fragrance of Jesus if you're going to. Have you ever had chips in the car and you've gone in the car the next day? Oh, it's not very pleasant. And we've still got cesspit carts in the island. That's not very pleasant. But we are a sweet fragrance. God did not call us. Jesus did not call us to be fruitful. He called us to be faithful. The fruit comes as we are faithful. Don't be consumed with bearing fruit. My apple trees don't strive to bear fruit. They abide in the ground. Jesus says, abide in me and I shall abide in you and you shall bear forth much fruit simply by abiding. When Jesus calls us home, folks, and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it won't be because of what we didn't do. It was because of what we could do and did do. Why? What is our motivation this morning? Because we who have been forgiven much, loveth much. Let's be challenged. Let's be encouraged in today, in the coming days, to be that sweet fragrance. May people be pleased to be with us. Pleased to have been with us. They go away thinking, gosh, we met with Jesus today. For his glory. Amen.